1, Jude 1. Jude chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Jude 1, 11 and 12. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They have won greedily in the era of Balaam for profit, the perishing in the rebellion of Korah. Now notice these three indicators. We talked about it on last Tuesday night. But these three individuals represent the kinds and categories of people who will depart from faith and being faithful to the Lord. They will depart from the faith. That means the doctrine and embodiment of Scripture, scriptural truth in these last days, and they will be unfaithful in these last days. And these are bad. We talked about those quite a bit. But what are the other cause or the other condition is verse 12. These are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only who? Themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars of whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. So this is representative of people who've gone bad, who've gone rogue, who rebelled against God. You don't want to be in that category. And as of today, and as many of you have heard, we've declared the next 21 days, including today, a love feast, but also a hate fast. Because these three individuals, categorized in verse 11, hated the things of God, hated the laws of God, hated the commandments and ways of God. And so during this day of consecration and dedication, these next 3 weeks, 21 days here at Triumphant Word Christian Center, we invite you online and in person and as part of this church and this online community to join with us in a 21-day love feast. But we're going to fast hatred in everything and every form that encompasses hate-filled living, being unloving or unforgiving. Because you become a spot in our love feasts. So you can feast in love and grow in love, but you also have to fast from hate and the things that cause you to operate in hate. We often jokingly say haterade. Some people don't just drink Gatorade, they drink haterade. Verse number 12, the first part of that in the New Living Translation says, these are people eat with you in your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love. They are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. So friends, every time you partake and receive communion together, it should be a love feast. In 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17, it says this, the cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And for we through many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. 1 Corinthians 10, 21 and 22 says to us, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. In other words, we can't come, if you remember the old, I don't know if it's Temptations or Four Tops song, where it says they smile in your face and every while they want to take your place, they're backstabbers. And so in other words, you can't come and say, well, I love the Lord and I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, and then get at home and you curse and criticize and you condemn other people. Somebody say glory to God. So in other words, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and drink the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Because there's demons out there, friends. There's devils out there that are tempting people to hate, to hold on and harbor unforgiveness, to hold on and harbor animosity and ill will, to be criticizers and complainers and condemners of mankind. Verse 22, it says, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? God, friends, our Father God does not want us to be drinking out of two cups. We can't operate in love when everything's fine for an hour and a half at church, and then operate in hate all week long. Now, our love feast is defined as the table of the Lord, where we rally around because we celebrate communion, the communion table that symbolizes and represents the blood covenant that we are to engage in and enjoy fully. We are to engage in and enjoy fully our blood covenant. Everybody say blood covenant. Everybody say blood covenant. Come on, y'all say blood covenant with me. Hallelujah. We want to come together in covenant communion with the Lord and engage each other in love, unity, and honor. In love, unity, and honor. In love, unity, and honor. So think about that. You share that with each other. So you're just not taking communion for yourself. Or you're not partaking of communion selfishly. See, it's our spiritual meal that heals. It helps and gives hopes to our hearts, our homes, and our church. It's our celebration of his love to us, his love in us and for others. When we take the communion elements, we celebrate God's love toward us. That means Jesus loves me. God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Come on now. But you're not just loving, getting love one direction to you. You're getting love in you and for you, and we getting love that we have to extend and transfer to others. I say three dimensions of love that we need to extend. Love to God, love to one another as children of God, because we're in covenant with each other. And then we have to have love to our neighbor and those in the world. Those who are lost, those who are lonely, those who are less fortunate than us. It's not to be received on the basis of religion or just in our responsibilities. Some people go through a religious routine and a regimen. Well, we're going to take communion today. So they take the cup of the Lord and then they go home and drink the cup of demons. Do you know to operate in hate and strife and envy and complaining is operating on the side of not God, but the destroyer? We said this before many times. Every step out of love is a step out of God. And it's a step out of the plan and the will of God and the purpose of God for your life. God wired you and me for the love. I am wired for love. You are wired for love. You have the DNA of love. You have the DNA of God inside of you. Come on now. Jesus said, God said in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That means you are made to love. You are made in Christ Jesus. You're in the Son of his love. So love is your mantra. Love is your mojo. Love is your the motive of your heart and life. Love. Love. Not the selfish, natural human love, but I'm talking about the God kind of love. The love of God. So when people do it out of religion, they're doing it out of deadness. They're doing it out of duty. They're doing it out of, I want to display that I'm okay. So they're doing it in hypocrisy. But they're taking it knowing that I've got animosity, I've got ill will, I've got an ought or a problem in my heart towards someone. I'm holding a grudge. I'm holding on to an offense. I'm holding on to a hurt that I haven't let drop or let go. It's not just in our responsibilities, but it's to be received on the basis of our committed covenant relationship of love, honor to God, and toward each other. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He said, "For we received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup and supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood." And what is Jesus saying? I'm giving you my body. I'm giving you my blood because I love you. I'm surrendering and giving my all to be in covenant with you. "This you do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he goes on to say in verse 26 through the Apostle Paul, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink of the cup of the Lord unworthily." That means in an unworthy manner. "That in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause," everybody say, "for this cause." This only one cause given. "Many are" what? "Weak, sickly, and among you, and many sleep." There's too many sick folks in the body of Christ. Spiritually sick and weak, and physically sick and hurting. This is a cause. What is the cause, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. It is disunity, discord, division. Operating in dissension. Now, these are things that are not necessarily seen, but they're unseen. They're hidden inside. They're what we call spiritual sins. They're called sins that go against the commandment of love, that go against the commandment of God. The commandment of God is to love God, to love people. He says in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and that we should be not condemned with the Lord." That means we got to judge ourselves. So when we come to the table today, when we consecrate ourselves over the next 21 days, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to judge ourselves and say, "Lord, teach me how to love on a higher level, in a higher order, on a higher platform. Teach me how to walk in a higher dimension of the love of God." Come on now. "Teach me how to walk in forgiveness toward that person who really is difficult to me or really is different from me. Teach me how to walk in honor toward all people, those above me in the Lord, those around me as my peers and partners in life." Come on now. "People who have been trusted into my care as a supervisor, as a manager, I've got to have my honor walk, my love walk grow." We're committing and consecrating ourselves at the table of the Lord to say, "Lord, help me to love better. Help me to love bigger. Help me to love broader." We don't want to do it out of religion. We don't want to do it out of responsibility. But it's to be received on the basis of committed covenant relationship of love and honor to God and toward each other. Now, what about this fast? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Moreover, when you fast." Everybody say, "when you fast." When's the last time you fasted? See, it's not if, it's when. It's not if, it's when. Do not be like the hypocrites. So here's another hypocritical thing we do. We can take communion hypocritically. We can fast hypocritically. He said, don't fast with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say unto you, they have their reward. So you don't go around telling everybody, don't be posting on social media, I'm fasting, I'm fasting, I'm fasting. No. Just do it. It's between you and the Lord. Now, we're proclaiming a church fast, so the church is fasting. But you individually are going to be fasting as you grow in your love walk, your honor walk, come on now, and your unity in the things of God. He said, but anoint your head and wash your face. That means get up and do the normal stuff, like you're going to work. And so that you may not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. How? Openly. So what is the Lord saying? That fasting, the Lord is communicating to us that fasting is never to be for an outward display, because that's hypocritical. Fasting is never to be for an outward display, but for inward discipline and dedication. Everybody say inward discipline and dedication. Everybody say discipline and dedication. Everybody say it the other way. Dedication and discipline. What are we doing over the next 21 days? As our love feast and hate fast, we are dedicating our heart and we're disciplining our flesh and our focus. Everybody say, dedicating my heart. You might say rededicating. Rededicating my heart and then disciplining my flesh and my focus. Okay, let's look at this for a minute. It is the dedication of your heart and the discipline of your flesh as you read, reflect, remember, apply, and act on the Word of God. Now, what are we asking people to do during this love feast, hate fast? We're asking everyone to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day, particularly 4 through 8. Read it in different translations. I've been reading it every day since March, or actually since January. So I've been reading it every day, and we're going to have actually a morning. I'm going to do a really quick 3 to 5 minute, no more than 5 minutes, live Facebook thing on things that we need to do to grow in our love walk. We're going to be talking about the love of God. We're going to be spending all the next 3 weeks in 1 Corinthians 13. Why? What? We need to feast in love. We need to feed on love. We need to fill our hearts every day up with the love of God. That means you're so full of love, you're like a sponge when somebody squeezes you because they say something or say something ugly or treat you ugly or they try to grab at your emotions, what are they going to squeeze? It's going to be so full of love, you ooze out love. You ooze out compassion. You ooze out care. Hallelujah. And so we're going to be learning little details each and every day. Amen. I'll be on every morning at 8:30. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so in the dedication of your heart, you learn what you're supposed to do. See, the commandment is love. But a lot of people don't know how to do love. They've been trained and conditioned to do hate, to always got to come back, got to clap back, got to criticize. Got to call out something. Well, you got to crucify that thing. You got to cut that thing off. And so you have to learn how to do love, how to give love, how to show love, how to operate in compassion, which is an intense, eager yearning to do good. You got to operate in commitment. That means your commitment level is not based on any feelings. It's a commitment to meet the needs of someone else's life without asking anything else in return. Commitment. People have gotten away from commitment. People have commitment issues today. And so we need to learn that covenant language of love is commitment. God committed himself to us while we were still in sin. Christ died for us. So God didn't wait till you and I get ourselves together and get our act together and say, then I'll commit to you. No, he said, I'll commit to you while you still stinking and sinking in sin. Come on now. Come on now. He's committed his love towards you. We have to learn to commit our love to those who are different, who are difficult, who are acting devilish. Everybody say commitment. And then we got to learn to care. We got to learn to anticipate someone else's needs and then meet them. What does somebody else need? We often say when you enter a room, you always should ask two prominent questions, two important questions. Every time you come to church, every time you come online, you got to ask, who can I help? And what can I learn? Why? Because you care. You know, some people become so unloving that they don't care about somebody falling apart or going to hell right next to them. You got to show care to those who are going on a speedy highway to hell. Do you care that they will spend the rest of eternity burning in a lake of fire? Do you care that they're lost and undone and a sinner in need of a savior? You gotta care. So the dedication of our heart, we learn what we're supposed to do. We're all supposed to, what are we all supposed to do? Walk and obey the commandment of love. Walk in instant forgiveness and unconditional love. Love God. Love one another. Love our neighbors. And grow in love. And basically have a love feast every day. And it's the discipline of our flesh. The discipline of our flesh is we learned that what you're supposed to stick to and stay away from. What are you supposed to stick to and stay away from? In other words, we have to stick to our commitment and covenant of love and to forgive and walk in honor. We have to stay away from any and all strife, any unforgiveness, being unloving, hate. Come on now, unholy, unrighteous anger. Some people have anger issues. They said, I was listening to a statistic the other day. They said anger issues are all-time rise because domestic violence is on an all-time high. They even said mental health issues have gone through the roof, 40% more when the pandemic started. Why? People having problems. Why? A lot of it's based on the fact that they've stepped out of love. And then when you step out of love, you step out of God. When you step out of love, you step into sin. When you step out of love, you sin, and you have to get back to God and her. When you're out of sin, when you're in sin, the devil enters in. The devil can get in. We have to stay out of anger. Why does the Bible say, don't let the sun go down on your wrath? In other words, everybody has a sunset rule. That means you got to get it right before the night. Get it right before the night. Don't have any anger or any ill will or animosity or harbor any grudges and offenses against anybody for anything. Now, if you repeat it the next day, if you rehearse it the next week, you haven't dealt with it. You haven't taken care of it in and through the love of God. Because unresolved and unrighteous anger and unholy anger, if it's left untaken care of and reconciled, it will metastasize in your heart and in your soul, and it will make you homicidal or suicidal. That means you're going to hurt people and you're going to hurt yourself. Bitterness, resentment, offense, malice, ill will, envy, pride, selfishness, selfish ambition, and self-centeredness. What do we stand away from all that. We're going to learn to, we want to learn over the next 3 weeks, over the next 21 days, learn to see that rattlesnake coming to bite us and say, no, 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 I'm avoiding that. I'm avoiding getting in strife. I'm avoiding getting into selfishness and unforgiveness. You got to look at it as a poison bottle that will kill you instantly when you drink unforgiveness, when you drink and harbor bitterness and resentment. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Praise God. See, focus is the ability to see what has to be done. This has to be done. So we said this fasting is a focus on the love of God and a focus to stay away from the things outside of the love of God. Hate and all that it entails and includes. And it has to be done. What could be done and what can be left undone. We must learn to value and discipline the discipline of focus. We must learn the value and discipline of focus for these next 21 days or 3 weeks. Listen to Paul in Philippians 3:13, New Living Translation. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved, but I focus on this one thing. So we're not fasting and praying without a target, without a goal. Our goal is to grow in love and grow in honor and grow in unity. Praise God. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Friends, our big focus as a church family is to have a love feast and a hate fast. Matthew 6:22 in the Passion Translation, it says to us, the eyes of your spirit allow revelation life to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. In other words, we want to grow in our revelation understanding, our revealed knowledge of the love of God. Because love never fails. Love always wins. Love prevails. Love is undefeatable. Dear friends, faith friends and family, we are charged and called to focus on growing in our revelation knowledge of the love of God over the next 3 weeks. Revelation will fuel and fire up our dedication to live and walk in love. See, once you get a revelation of God's love towards you and the love that he's put inside of you to compel you and to constrain you to show love and share love with others, come on now, once you get a revelation of that, it will fuel and it will fire up your dedication to that. Your revelation fuels your dedication. So when you take communion today, you're saying, Lord, I need a fresh revelation of your love to me and your fresh revelation of the love of God you put inside me, the great love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. See, if you learn to focus, friends, then you can learn to be faithful. Faithfulness is not doing everything, but faithfulness is doing God's thing. God's number one commandment is the commandment of love. Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment when you love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your body, all of your will, everything that you have, you love God. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two hang every other law. When we get the royal law of love down pat, come on now, every other thing will fall in line. See, a diet changes the way you look, but fasting changes the way you see. See, when we fast, we position ourselves to hear from God and to see things from his perspective. We want to see things through the lens and optics of love. The love of God through the eyes of love. See, think about it. 3 weeks from now, you see things more clearly through love. When you look at your children, when you look at your family members, when you look at your parents, when you look at your neighbors and friends, you look at them now, you're looking at them through the eyes of love. I remember when Dad Hagin went to heaven one time and people were asking him, you know, he was very discreet and not trying to make people really hyped up over what color Jesus was and how his hair looked and what was what he only thing he described is he said, when I saw Jesus, the most outstanding characteristic he had, sister, he said, I looked at his eyes and they were like rivers of love. Come on now. Would you like to look at your family and look at your neighbors and look at the friends and those even that need to be saved and those that need to learn and come to Christ? You look at them through the eyes of love. You have rivers of love pouring out of you. You have the love of Christ constraining you. So you don't get quick to get mad and upset and come back and clap back and shout back. Come on now. And criticize. You say, I love them with the love of the Lord. How can I contribute to their downfall? How can I contribute to their demise? How can I cause them to be defeated by putting my mouth against them? Everybody's quiet today. Praise God. See, we're fasting to rekindle, reignite, revive, and renew our spiritual discipline and devotion to walk in love, to walk in forgiveness, and to walk in honor towards God, towards men and women of all ages, stages, generations, colors, classes, cultures, and categories. Because it's just not loving, just rekindling your love for your spouse or your family members. Come on now. You got to extend it to those that are lost. We got to fall back in love with the lost, that we gotta move with compassion toward the lost, toward the lonely, those that don't have a church home or a church family. Come on, those that are less fortunate than us. Come on, we gotta have a compassion on those who are poor, who can't even find a piece of food to eat. We gotta have love for them. The key byproduct of love and honor, see friends, our love and honor walk breeds peace, protection, provision, and pleasure. Everybody say peace, protection, provision, and pleasure. Come on, say it one more time. Peace, protection, provision, and pleasure. What does that come from? That's those are byproducts of walking in love and honor toward each other. Why is there so much unrest and unruliness at the house? There's no peace because the love walk and honor walk is left. See, when love and honor leaves our hearts, our homes, our church house, then peace and protection leaves. We leave our homes uncovered because the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers, but see, hate uncovers. That means it don't protect. It doesn't prevent. There's no preventative. There's no protection over your house when you refuse to love and you refuse and reject honor, but you dishonor. And see, when that happens, the provision dries up and the anointing and power of God and the pleasure of God that comes from the oil of joy gets stopped up and blocked up. And then the supernatural, miraculous, and godly things stop happening and things start getting hurtful and horrible and hindered in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, and in our church house. So we are proclaiming a church-wide fast from all forms of hatred, strife, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, ungodly and unholy anger, bad temper, divisions, offenses, and being offensive, and any ill will against anyone, the least bit of animosity, spite, or aughts, or grudges against anybody. We are to eliminate and eradicate and terminate these things from our hearts, our homes, our church house. Fully engage and actively and aggressively and assertively love, operate in loving, giving. Remember, love's main manifestation is giving and what? Forgiving. See, sometimes you can check your giving record and it tells you what your loving record is like. Your giving record is a big indication of your love life. Now, some people say, well, I love people around me. No. Do you give them what they need? Do you bless them? Do you pray for them? Do you do good to them? Because, see, you have to love not just people who love you, but you have to love people who are difficult and acting like the devil to you. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody say loving. Say, I want to grow in loving, giving, and forgiving, and honoring each other. You know, the Bible talks about honor. Praise the Lord. Your honor walk's important. You know, the Ten Commandments, the first, in Exodus chapter 20, is an honor code. It's an honor principle. It's God's honor code. First five principles. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make none of thee any graven image. That means don't put anybody else in front of me. That means loving God, honoring God, first and foremost. The first five commandments is all about honoring God and loving God. First five. The sixth one is about honoring your parents. Honor thy what? Father and thy mother. Because this is a commandment with a promise. What commandment with a promise does it bring? It says that you, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that you will live, you be well with you. That means you won't have a whole history of being sick and broke and busted and hurting and having tragic relationships and terrible lifestyle. Why? Because you can be dishonorable to your parents and you don't fulfill that promise condition. You dishonor, disregard, disrespect your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. Come on now. You violate the honor code. He said that it be made well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That means longevity is promised to those that honor their parents. Somebody say glory to God. And so you honor them. That means honor is due to them every day and in every way. That's honor them. And then the last four commandments in Exodus chapter 20 have to do with honoring each other. How? You don't covet. You don't lie. You don't steal. You don't murder. You honor each other. So your love walk is in one area, your honor walk is in another area. You need them both working, and that's what we're going to take communion about in just a few seconds, a few minutes. We're going to take communion about. We need to be walking in love, and we need to be showing and giving honor. Honor to God, honor to others, honor to those over us, around us, and those entrusted into our care. What does it bring? What does it breed? It breeds peace. It breeds protection. It breeds provision and pleasure. And then let me tell you one thing before we take communion. When your money's messed up, when your prayers are not getting answered, listen to me online, very closely. Listen to me, very closely. Listen to me, here. When your money's messed up, you better check that love walk. And you better check your honor walk. Because usually we missed it in those areas. Honor has to also do with obedience. It has to do nothing with how you feel like doing something or you feel like, hey, I got to do this. No, they told me to do this. They're trying to make me do this. No. Honor has to do everything. I do this because I'm obeying love and I'm walking in honor. Amen. We honor the Lord by obeying him with our giving. You know what the tithe is about? The tithe is about H-O-N-O-R. Honor. The reason you tithe is what? You honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. Now, too many people, too many Christians are dishonoring the Lord because they're holding back their tithes or they're not tithing. And what are they saying? God, I'm not honoring you. There is an honor walk to fulfill. There is a love walk and commandment to obey. Praise the Lord. Everybody here? So let's make this confession. Get your communion elements out. If those of you at home, you can get your bread, get your cup. Let's pray. Let me pray over you first, and then ask for those that need prayer to come, and we'll pick it up there next week in Love Feast Part Number 2, because we're going to be talking about the tight reasons to fast and those kinds of things.